And hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rough Draft Show. I am very sorry about it taking so long to get up. I went to log into the studio, and my internet was glitching out, and I finally only just now got in. So here with us tonight, we have Shannon L. Murray. I'm turning on. Let me know if I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
No, that sounded right.
All right. Shannon L. Mokri. Yeah, I can hear you. She's
okay.
The author of Bubbles in the Berry Bush. And we're going... which is a children's book about a princess and a dragon. At least that's what I gathered from the first snippet bit. Because right now I'm broke,
yes.
Or I would have... Yeah.
I'm sorry. I should have sent you a copy.
Yeah.
It's about a bubbling dragon.
Ah. So, how did you get started? How did you start out writing?
How did I start writing?
Yeah.
Well, I wrote a lot as a young person. And I kind of took a break having children. And now I'm a homeschooling mom. And it just it's written on my heart one day that I need to stop living in fear and do what I'd always dreamed of doing. And that was be published. And it happened that I had been telling the story to my youngest child over and over in the middle of the night, and I decided what better thing to start with than the story that captivates my youngest child. So I wrote it down, and I asked some author friends that I had about the process, and here we are.
All right, so what led you to choose the indie publication route?
Well, with the children's market, it's a little different than some other genres because you need illustrations. And mm-hmm. I was looking into the process. The more I saw going the traditional route, if you managed to get in, it would take years. And you lose a lot of control because the publisher chooses your illustrator and pretty much take over the book. And if I was going to do this, I wanted it to be my baby all the way through. So I didn't want to give up any of that control.
Yeah, control is a lot what it boils into for a lot of the indie authors. So what would you say are the themes that you address in your writing?
Kids, I wanted to provide a non-scary role model. So children tend to love dragons, but my dragon doesn't breathe fire. He breathes bubbles. It kind of just makes him more friendly. And we address in this particular book a little bit about not judging other people and how to react when you're judged. In this case, forgiveness, of course.
Yeah.
So I have my characters have a small adventure where they get misjudged based off of what other people have done. They talk about it and they forgive. And of course we address how it's not nice to be judged and feelings are hurt and you do have to get over that and move past it. Fun way that keeps the kids all smiling.
Okay. Okay, I had a question. My brain ran off with it. It does this.
Does brain. Often in my house as well.
What are some of the things you have on the horizon for writing?
I actually have three more books about bubbles and the current prince and princess, and those are pretty much done. I'm just waiting on getting them illustrated. And then I also have a middle grade child, and I was inspired to take this story a little further. And I have a middle grade series coming out that is basically how Bubbles came to blow bubbles.
Ah.
What made him different. So it's his kind of birth story, so to speak.
Ah, interesting.
That's going to be a 12-book series.
All right.
I've already got the first three written. I'm just in the editing process.
Ooh, editing, so much fun.
Oh, yes. Every author's favorite part, right?
Oh, it is a favorite part.
So the good news with this one is I do have my children's feedback to help point me in the right direction.
Yeah, feedback is always awesome. Yeah. So you're a mom. So what do you do when you're not writing?
I am a chauffeur, and I work really hard at providing opportunities for my children. My oldest is 15, and as I mentioned before, I homeschool. So I have a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 6-year-old. They keep me hopping pretty much most of the time. The real question is, when do I find time to write?
That is a question. I don't have any kids of my own yet, but I have 3 younger siblings. A 7-year-old, he's about to turn 12, and then one who's 2 years younger than me. And I get called on to help a lot with them, and yes, they keep you hopping. When do you find time to write?
I thought we were going to talk tonight about how the children's market differs from other genres.
Yeah. Oh, what it is the first half of the show, I will talk about you. And the second half after I run my dad's ad. I should have made that a little bit clearer.
Okay.
And we're not yet to the halfway mark, although I can probably do it at the 30 minutes. I've got a clock here that I'm looking at. When it says 30, I will run the ad and then we'll talk about that. So we got 10 more minutes. So what are the methods and avenues you use to publish your book?
So I actually have several friends that have published in as indie authors in different genres, and I spoke with them pretty intensively about the process. So once I got my story on paper or on computer screen, I found a wonderful resource online with other authors to help really make it the best story it can be.
And which was
and my mind went blank as we talked about earlier.
Yeah, it ran off with your answer.
It did.
We should sit our minds down and have a good stern talking to with them.
I know our minds, huh? If it hadn't been for that resource, I don't think I would have the story I have today. But they helped me take my 3,000 words. I'm pretty long-winded in the middle of the night when I'm telling my children stories and got it into the much more acceptable under 1,000 word range. And then I had to find a illustrator that I could afford. That's
yeah.
The next best part, right?
Yeah, 14.
So I utilized my homeschool connections, and my thought was, I'm new at this. I have no idea what I'm doing other than what I can find on the internet. And I know that it takes a special type of artist to do illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who could work at what I could afford to pay is probably going to be someone who's never done it before. So we were going to take a chance on each other. So I sent out a request to all of my homeschool boards. I was looking for someone 17, 18, 19. And I found one. Actually, found several. And I sent them my story, and they read it, and they sent me a sample work, and I fell in love with my illustrator. And I had a long talk with my husband, and we came up with a little more money than I had before. And she was willing to work with me, and it was amazing. And all of her work is hand-drawn. And
yeah, it looks hand-drawn when I pulled up the picture. It is gorgeous.
So it's real art, and I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned you have three kids. Do you think any of them are going to follow you in the writing realm?
I do. My oldest is currently working on an epic saga.
Ooh, those are the best.
She won't let me read it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's amazing because she won't let me read it.
Well, I made the mistake of letting my mother read my books. So, I can stand by her.
Yeah.
My mother tore them to shreds.
She does occasionally ask me questions, so I do get to have some input. Mostly because as a homeschool child, she doesn't have maybe quite the life experience to help her with some of her questions.
Yeah. As a homeschool student myself, I do understand that. So, Brian, come back here. If someone wants to follow you, where would they go?
I am on Facebook.
All right. Do you have a Facebook page?
I am on Facebook. I do.
All
right. Shannon L. Mokry. I threw that L in there because there's actually more than one Shannon Mokry. Who knew?
Yeah.
It separates me out from the others. I think there's three of us. So I needed to make it clear which of the three I am.
Yeah. Brian, come back. You know, that's why kind of why I tossed an E into my name.
Yeah.
Because anyone who has the name Kendra can turn their last name, their name around and be Kendra Ardneck.
Oh, so that's not your real last name then?
No, it's not.
I did not even catch that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's my first name backwards. I was 16 when I published my first book, and very
impulsive. Yeah, you want a little more privacy when you're
almost,
that young, definitely.
Yeah, I almost switched to my real name when I published Water Princess, Fire Prince. But I didn't. And now I'm stuck with that. Because I don't see any other books in the nearest future that I could make the switch back to my real name.
Well, if you decide to go with a different genre, that would be the opportunity.
Probably not if it stays fiction. But if I ever do write nonfiction and want to be taken seriously. I mean, if I wrote a book about writing, I would keep my pen name. But if I were to write a book about ancient history or stuff, I'd to be taken seriously, I'd use my real name.
That's true. That's true. I actually have a non-children's book on the horizon, and I will not be using my current name.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's an adult book and I don't want it to be misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll probably just be my maiden name, so it's still me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are there any other places that readers can go to get your find information about your books or about you or follow you?
I'm also on Twitter, and I do have a website. Yes.
All right. If you can go ahead and put the URL, I'll edit this thing later and put it into my description.
My blog is not great at the moment, but it is out there. I think my Facebook is probably the better page.
Marketing advice from me to you. Make it your kingdom and make it great. That is going to be how a lot of people are going to learn a lot more about you and your writing.
I am learning this process as I go, so you're right.
Yeah. So do you want to share your blog here or keep it hidden?
I can. Where do you want me to type it in?
I just URL. Just
okay.
Rattle it off here and I'll have it. You.
Oh, okay. Well, it's, I started my publishing career by starting my own press. So I am Silly Geese LLC. No, excuse me. I'm sorry. Silly Geese Publishing LLC. And that's at blogspot.com.
Mm.
So all one word. Silly Geese Publishing LLC.
That blogspot.com. All right. And you can send me a link to that and I will edit the description of this post after it's done. All right. We've reached the 30-minute mark. I'm going to play my dad's ad and then we can get into talking about the difference between the genres.
Hi, this
Sounds
is
great.
Tim Roden, host of Sunday Night right here on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting. We take a look at world events in light of Bible prophecy, and we do Bible study, so you know what God thinks about our times. So tune in right here every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on Eagle's Nest Broadcasting.
All right. So when I did the Indie Econ Week, I did have a children's author on the publishing day on Wednesday. And she did touch on it, but we had, what was her name? She wrote, great. Her name's completely slipped me. Probably go. But, yeah.
Do you know if she was also indie published, or did she go
the
traditional route?
She was also indie published because this was it. Her book was Anya and Something, and I picked it up, and it's just sitting here off the top of my head. And she's in my group. Let me go see if I can find it on Facebook. Hello, someone posted over there. Remember. I'm still here. I didn't wander off. Just looking for a name. Oh, that's you.
Yeah, I missed the Indie Econ week.
That, Yeah, that was a ton of fun. You know what, maybe I should. No, I wouldn't have it there. You know what, I might have it on my Twitter. And I closed that one out. Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So what I have.
Go ahead and start talking about the difference. And I'll find this author's name.
So what I have discovered through joining several Facebook groups is that most indie authors utilize various different companies to shoot out their promotions to the world. BookBub is the big one that's thrown around a lot.
Yeah, I see that name a lot. I've never attempted it. I don't have the money.
Yeah, that's one of the expensive ones. There's several other less expensive ones. But what I have found is that's pretty much the only one that has a children's category. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in the market that does the sharing free or inexpensive book promotions with the world, they won't even touch children's books. And the reason for that is even though we're in this new world where so many people read digitally, children still want to hold a book in their hand, and parents still want to hold a book in their hand. There's just something wonderful about that tactile experience with a small child.
Mm-hmm.
That puts our books then in a different category. I might offer my book for free or for 99 cents, but if they want to hold something in their hand, then you're going to have a lot less people download it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and nothing.
You said you
In a Cauldron is who I had. And her books are more to the middle grade.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And middle grade is kind of a funny stage. About half the kids I know have some sort of e-reader or some sort of device that they could read off of, and the other half have absolutely nothing electronic to read off of. And I think that's pretty telling in the market. Kids may have a phone or they may have different devices, but they're unaware that they could use them to read.
Yeah.
So again, you're looking at finding a way to market to the people with the pocketbooks for people who may or may not have a digital device to read mm-hmm. off of. So I had to go and find a company to produce a high quality, industry standard quality, hardbound book and make it available. And that's up on Amazon. I also put it available digitally because there are minimalists out there who do read to their kids off of their e-readers, or they'll download books and hand the book off
mm-hmm.
or hand the e-reader to their children. So I wanted to make sure that I was hitting the most market that I possibly can. But again, the way you hit parents and grandparents to buy children's books is face to face. Not necessarily my face to their face, but
yeah, through recommended, you know, people, the networking. You know, having someone they trust recommend it. Hello? Did you run off? I think you ran off. I think I'm here all by myself, lost. Yeah, I think we dropped her. Okay, yeah, she dropped out, and see if she's going to call back in. And yeah. The, on the theme of the not want wanting a physical book, I as awesome as Kindle books are, when there's illustrations, the illustrations are never as awesome on the Kindle reader, especially if it's a black and white Kindle. If you have like a Kindle Fire using an app on your phone or computer, that it's passable, but it is, you know, I do agree that reading a book in format is so much more awesome if there's pictures than it is to read it in a not physical format with pictures, if I'm making any sense. I'm going to go over to Facebook to see if she's messaged me about that. That is how we're communicating. Yeah. All right. Okay. It looks like she's called back in.
Yes.
All right. Here she is. And you were saying?
So one of the ways that a children's author can get in that trusted recommendation that you were talking about is getting into school classrooms or going to events where children are going to be.
Yeah.
So that's the hard part. How do you get schools and teachers to want to have you in the classroom or to recommend you to parents? Traditionally published authors have kind of a little edge in that they can get into brick and mortar stores like Barnes and Noble or grocery store. And when the book's in their face, they pick it up and they are likely to buy it. We just have to be a little more creative.
Mm-hmm. You have to call in through the back door, the trap door.
It's not impossible to get into Barnes and Noble's. I've heard other people who have made friends with managers in the stores, and they get in that way. I don't have enough time to make friends. That sounds bad, isn't it?
Well, have your kids make friends for you.
I do. Well, see, I do have friends. I unfortunately don't have friends in the right places.
Yeah, that is
so.
The thing.
I have a few friends that are actually teachers, and so I have done some classroom visits, and that was very fun. I highly recommend talking up any of your teacher friends, even if it's the wrong age group. Because the experience is wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're the wrong age group, you do represent a occupation.
Exactly.
So you can say, here is it. And frequently they will have siblings of the correct age group.
You hit it. Exactly. That's why you don't set yourself, say, my book is for 4 to 6 year olds. I did a classroom visit to a second grade class and got the most sales out of the second grade class.
Mm.
And those are 8 year olds.
Second grade tends to have a little bit more pocket money and a little bit more sway with mom and dad on buying books.
They do. But I don't think it was the kids buying the books. I do believe it was the parents buying the books.
Yeah. More
yeah, for the most part, probably kids who have younger siblings.
I'm sorry, but you cut out there.
I said most likely children with younger siblings.
Yeah. Like, oh, here was this teacher in my kid's class for the younger siblings. Awesomeness.
Exactly. And it was very fun.
Yeah. Now, I remember when I first published, or it might have been right before I published, going, I'm not sure if I was published yet or not. going to an event that a author held at my local library, and she had a children's book about a little duck. And we had a discussion of that, and I was way over the age group, but I'm like, I want to be here to learn about writing.
Our I'm very lucky. Our library offers the same opportunities. I'm still trying to get in with the librarian to participate in the next year, possibly. But yeah, definitely check out your libraries. Another opportunity is don't forget to, as an author, to donate physical books. Mm-hmm. Again, since children's books differ from other genres because you're going to be selling physical books more than you're going to sell ebooks. Anytime I do an event, I put up a little sign. I said, if you don't have any kids, support your local artist and donate a book. And I got to take 8 books up to our children's hospital for the kids to take home. And the woman there that was the liaison between donations and the hospital, she said it's amazing the number of kids who don't have books.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've never been read to. Their parents don't put a priority on it. And then they get a book to take home with them. It's just a wonderful thing that the hospitals are only able to do when they have enough books donated from various sources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another little thing that people who have a physical book can do to market and get themselves out there. Maybe with people who don't have their children of their own, but still want to support children.
Yeah. Now we've talked about the marketing and publishing, and what would you say would be the difference writing wise between the children's market and the adult market, the general market?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a moment. We've
talked about the marketing and publishing. What would you say would be differences writing wise between the children's and the general market?
Words. Well, I obviously all writing is about words, but for children, you're looking at your average book is only 500 words. Mine are a little closer to 1,000. That's still considered industry standard. They shoot for between 500 and 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I could have cut it down to 500. Maybe I could have had a little less introduction about my characters, but that's my daughter's favorite part, so I left it in. She likes hearing about the characters as much as the adventures that they go on. That's the biggest thing. You're allowed to be a little wordier in the general market. In fact, you're encouraged to be wordier.
Yeah.
In pretty much every other genre. So just trying to get your story down. And then you have to look at, not just how few words you use, but which words you're using. Keeping in mind that children don't have the same vocabulary as an adult. Not only that, not every adult has the same vocabulary that a writer does.
Mm-hmm.
And you want both the adult and the child to understand what's going on. So picking your words carefully in writing to the age group is really important.
Yeah.
With that said, many parents, probably your mom, or another homeschool mom, would say that you don't want to write a book for 3-year-olds using only 3-year-old words. you'd still want to you still want to grow their vocabulary. Exactly. Yeah. So throwing in a couple of larger words is not a bad thing. You just have to pick it carefully.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, be conscious of what that they, but you know, it's as a kid, precocious kids, they always like learning a new word so they can use it on their teacher, and they go, "Oh, you're so smart."
Yes. So you expand the vocabulary, but don't forget to give them context to understand the word.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week, my 15-year-old came to me with a couple books and said, "I don't understand this word or this context." And for some reason, she didn't want to look it up. I think it was a antiquated spelling. So she may have attempted to look it up and didn't find anything.
Yeah, I know my brother reads a lot, and we got him a Kindle a couple Christmases ago, and we've got it set on the I'm not sure what the setting is, but it always has a definition beside all the hard words.
Oh, that's neat. I'll have to look into that for my daughter.
I'm not sure it would help with like paperback books. The illustrated books. I mean, like yours,
no,
where the text
right.
is part of the image. But like the middle grade book, it would help with that.
Right. It would definitely help with the middle grade book. There are several resources authors use to get their vocabulary into the right age range.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful.
Right. Reading level.
Yes. That is so important. Mine's not an early reader, so it's not intended for children to read on their own. It's a bedtime story. It's intended for parents to read to their children. That connection of a parent reading to a child is so important for a child to grow up loving books and reading and learning.
Yeah. I mean, my mother, for me, she would get books on tapes from the time I was like a few months old, and just that was my naps. I'm not talking easy readers. I was listening to Dickens and Austen and that sort of stuff.
But your favorite memories are probably when she sat down and actually read to you.
More like the time she would walk me around the block telling fairy tales or retelling various stuff that she had read.
Okay. So it's the interaction. And you knew they were stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of books completely memorized for the same reason. When I had multiple books or some, when I forgot reading material, I could quote the story.
And then you try to change on the kid, and the kid's like, "No, that's not how the story goes."
Yeah, no, my daughter knew exactly. You had to have word for word.
Mommy, why did you cut out two-thirds of the story? Because the industry standard, sweetheart.
Aww. No, I really did. I had to cut out two-thirds of the story in order to make it fit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how long-winded I was. But the story basically came out of my daughter waking up almost every night at 2 in the morning, and I'm blind, or practically blind. I can't see without my glasses on. I didn't want to turn the light on. I didn't want to put my glasses on. So I went to her room, and I needed a story that would keep her in her bed, and not in mine. And that meant it had to be something not scary that would make her feel safe in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And so a dragon provided that. And I looked around, and all the books many of the books we have, they're just for entertainment. they don't serve any other purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted any stories that I told, any books that I write, have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So my stories all taught something. My next book is going to be Bubbles and the Shark Attack. And that came about from her watching a documentary about sharks with her siblings earlier in the day. Wakes up in the middle of the night and says, "Mom, I'm afraid a shark is going to get me. Honey, you're in your bedroom. There's not going to be any sharks that didn't cut it." So I told a story about
come in from the bathtub. There's one in the bathtub.
Children's minds. Very interesting subjects. So
yeah.
my friendly bubble blowing dragon rescues her from the sharks. So I was able to get her to go back to sleep knowing that no matter what situation she gets into, bubbles are the answer.
Yeah.
That will get her out of anything.
Yeah.
Can't get much more friendly and nightmare free than bubbles.
You know, you're saying about message. How do you keep from being overly preachy and moralizing, though? Because I know a lot of kids really dislike being, this story is just a, just this bubble wrapped
moral story.
Yeah.
Part of it is, even though I'm a person of faith, and a lot of the concepts that are going to come through may seem like very, hard to put this in the correct terms. I'm sorry. When I went to the school and gave my story reading, it was a Christian school, and they told me, "This is great. These are great Christian morals." I think they're great morals for everyone. But I kept God out of it because God is not fiction. And small children don't know how to separate fiction from fantasy, or at least my children don't, until they were actually quite old. I don't want children to read a book and think that God is fake.
No.
So I kept God out of it. I don't mention God in any of my children's books. But I'm teaching the lessons that Christian parents want their kids to learn. And I'm trying to go about it from a whimsical, fun standpoint. So
like
I'm looking at
method.
Well, I'm looking at experiences a kid might actually have and putting it in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
So on the playground, kids get accused of things they didn't do. Their parents accuse them of things they don't do. That's just the life of a kid.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? And so I'm showing them a way that you can respond to that. Instead of allowing yourself to be angry or giving way to the hurt, talk about it. Stop and find out what's going on, if at all possible. And just know that if someone's accusing you of something, that it's not you that did something bad.
All right. So,
and the kids really relate to that message.
All right. So we've got about 4 minutes left. What would you say are your biggest advice to anybody who's pursuing writing and in particular pursuing indie publishing?
Do your research. Google everything that you can Google and talk to some people who've gone before you.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of research. I found Link when I finished NaNoWriMo and hey, Homestretch free. I'm published now.
Well, but you found NaNoWriMo, which is a resource.
RIMO. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been given by some other people I was following.
So you had a resource that did some of that research for you. And yeah. that's fine. But I think probably doing your own research is not a bad thing either.
No. I was
but
16,
again,
though.
Go to other people who've gone before you and, you know, pick their brains.
Mm-hmm.
To the, you know, just like everything else in life, you don't have to invent the wheel if it's already been invented. You don't have to take the dirt road when there's a paved road right next to it.
No. Yeah. I have as yet to find any indie author who is not willing to, you know, at least give some pointers and advice to people who are interested, because we all know it's a tough thing to get into, and we all know we wish we had had that hand up.
They have been a bunch of wonderful, wonderful giving people. That has been my experience.
Mm-hmm. All right. And would you please repeat the places we can find and follow you on the internet?
You can find me on Facebook at Shannon L. Mokry, author page. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Shannon Mokry. And I have a website that's www.sillygeesepublishingllc.blogspot.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me.
Yeah, and thank you so much for coming here. Oh, great. Where's the adjective I was about to use? The fearsome jungle that is children publishing. And
thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I hope you guys, we imparted something useful tonight that someone can learn from.
Hopefully you enjoyed the talk.
And if you're interested, Giraffe Crafts is, the Rough Draft Show is part of Giraffe Crafts, which is my company dedicated to the encouragement and promotion of good indie fiction. And you can find me at my blog, which I haven't got the website up yet. It is a goal within this month, is Kendra's Giraffe Crafts, because regular Giraffe Crafts was taken. So it's Kendra's, K-E-N-D-R-A-A-S, giraffecrafts.blogspot.com. And to all the writers out there, happy writing and happy reading. And if you see a giraffe, think of me. I don't know. Bye.